I'm going to be speaking to you today from the fifth chapter of Romans. Now, I'll be reading several verses of Scripture, and I'd like so very much if you'd get a Bible and follow along with me as I speak to you on the subject, justified by faith. Now, if we pay attention, and if the Spirit of God's pleased to speak through me today, we'll learn some things about this subject, justified by faith. Will you open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 5? Now here's our text, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. Now, if someone were to ask you personally, if they were to ask you, how did man get in this state of spiritual darkness? We're in spiritual darkness. We're in condemnation, under sentence of death because of sin, separated from God. If someone were to ask you personally, how did we get in the mess we're in? How was man separated from God? Why are our hearts and our wills and our souls so full of sin and so full of rebellion and so full of corruption and enmity against God? The natural mind is enmity against God and holiness and righteousness and truth. Now, what happened? What brought all this about? What put us in this state of darkness, death, sin, guilt, corruption? Well, according to the Scriptures, now you turn to that passage, Romans chapter 5, according to the Scriptures, the reason we're in the mess we're in is because our father Adam. Now God made one man, he made Adam. He said, let us make man, and he made Adam. Call Adam red earth. Adam was taken from the dust of the earth. And he was created in the image of God, without sin. The Scripture says holy and upright. And Adam was the head of the whole human race. That was the beginning of the human race. When God made Adam, that was the first man, the only man God ever made. All others came directly from him. We can trace our roots right back to Adam. Adam is called the federal head. He's called the beginning of the human race. He is, according to the Scriptures, the representative of the whole human race. And as our head, we stood in him. And when he fell, we fell in him. When he sinned, we sinned in him. Adam sinned, and we sinned in him. He was the head of the human race. We were all in his loins, and through him, sin and death and judgment passed upon all men. Now, you may say, well, preacher, can you make good on that? I certainly can. If you'll look at that Scripture I told you to open to, Romans chapter 5, Adam, God made Adam. And when he made Adam, he made the whole human race. And we all stood in him. We're represented by him. He's the head of the whole human race. And when he sinned, we sinned. When he fell, we fell. When he died spiritually, we died. Now, let me show you that. Turn to Romans chapter 5, and let's look first of all at verse 12. Now, listen to it. If words can mean anything at all, then these words are clear and plain. It says in Romans 5:12, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. For in him, all sinned. You see that? That's pretty clear, isn't it? All right, look at verse 15, same chapter, Romans 5, verse 15. I'm just going to read part of this verse and part of a few others because we'll come back later and read the other part. But the first part here refers to our relationship with Adam. How that we stood in him, how that we fell in him, how that because of his representation, because of his sin, then sin and darkness and death was passed upon us. Listen to Romans 5:15. through the offense of one, all are dead. Dead. God said, Adam, in the day you eat of the forbidden tree, you die. And Adam ate and he died. He died spiritually. He didn't die physically. He lived many years after that physically, but he died spiritually. And you can see the results of that fall, the results of that sin. Before Adam fell, he walked with God. But after he ate the forbidden fruit, he ran from God. Before Adam fell, before he sinned, Adam was naked and didn't know that he was. He had no thought of sin, no imagination of sin. Both the man and his wife had no clothes on, but they weren't embarrassed. They didn't feel any guilt at all. But after he fell, he began to sew fig leaves together and try to cover himself. Before he fell, God gave him this precious wife, helpmate. He called her Eve, mother of all, you know, and talked about his care for her after he fell. He wanted God to blame her for his condition. He says, not my fault, it's the woman you gave me. And on, he hid from God, he ran from God, he tried to cover his nakedness, he had anger against his wife, he had self-righteousness, he tried to excuse himself because of his fall. This is all the result of death, spiritual death, lack of holiness, lack of righteousness, and the condition of Adam. And these things have passed on to us. The reason you understand what I'm talking about is that's the way we are. Look at verse 17, Romans 5, 17. By one man's offense, death reigned. By one man's offense. Who was the one man? It was Adam. When did it happen? In the beginning. Where did it happen? In the Garden of Eden. Why did it happen? As a result of Satan's temptation. Adam listened, Eve listened to Satan, and they rebelled against God, and so death passed upon all men. Isn't that clear? So if someone asks you, how did we get in the mess we're in? How did spiritual death and condemnation and corruption pass upon all men? Why is our nature like it is? Why is it so much easier to do wrong than to do right? Why does sin come so easily for us? Our nature sin, it's a principle that lives within us, and we got it from our father Adam. Look at verse 18. Listen to this. For by the offense of one man, judgment came upon all men to condemnation by one man's offense. And then that text that I read for you a moment ago, verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made, became sinners. And that sin is passed on by natural generation through conception and birth. David wrote about it in Psalms. In Psalms 51, he said, in sin my mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity. I was brought forth speaking lies. I came forth from the womb, estranged from God. With all of these potentials and possibilities and a principle of sin within me. Nothing, my friends, nothing could be clearer than this fact. I don't know how to make it plainer. I don't know how to make it clearer. By one man, isn't that what it said? Sin entered into the world. And death by sin, death and darkness, disease and condemnation passed upon all men. For in that one man, everybody sinned. That's what it says in the Scripture. I just read it to you. You know, I wish you'd search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. It's not a matter of what I think or what some other preacher thinks or what you think. It's not a matter of our tradition or what's been handed down by our fathers. Somebody say, well, that's not what I've been taught. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is the answer to that question. How did we get in the mess we're in? How did we get separated from God? How did death and condemnation become our way of life when God didn't make man that way? Man wasn't made to die. He said God made him in holiness. God made him in uprightness. God made him in his own image. But he sought out many inventions. And that one man, you see, I read it to you over and over and over again. Romans 5, 12. 15, 17, 18, and 19. By one man sin entered. Through the offense of one man all are dead. By the offense of one man judgment came upon all men. By one man's disobedience many were made sinners. That's where it started. That's where it came from. And that's how it came upon us. Now then, here's a second question. If someone were to ask you, well, how can we be delivered out of this mess we're in? Is there a way of life? Is there a way of forgiveness? Is there a way of justification? Is there a way of deliverance from this state of death and darkness and condemnation? Is there life for death? Light for darkness? Deliverance from condemnation? Well, according to the same scriptures, reading the same, right there where you're looking, Romans 5, according to the same scriptures, the way out of the mess we're in, the way out of death and condemnation and darkness, is really by the same way we got in this mess, by representation, by substitution, by the work of another. In other words, by man, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, by man came death. By man came the resurrection of the dead. By one man, sin entered this world. By one man, the God-man, righteousness and holiness and life came into this world. Christ said, I am come that they might have life. Now let's look at some of the scriptures. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam we die, so in Christ we're made alive. By man came death, by man came the resurrection. Now listen to the same scriptures. I'm going to turn back to Romans chapter 5. And I'm now reading the second part of each of these verses. You note it there in your Bible. Take your pen, underscore it, take notes. Study these things. That's what the noble Bereans did. They searched the scriptures to see if these things be so. Now Romans 5:15. Got it? Romans 5:15. For if through the offense, the guilt of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. By one man's sin and disobedience and rebellion, we became sinners. He represented us. There was imputed to us and imparted to us a nature of evil. Even so, by another man, by the second Adam, first Adam is of the earth, earthy, the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. So, by the obedience of another man, the God-man, and by the sacrifice and righteousness of another man, we can have holiness. We got sin through Adam. We get righteousness through Christ. Look at verse 17. Look at it. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. You see it there? Romans 5:17. Look at verse 19. By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. In other words, everybody who was in Adam's loins when he sinned died in him. Now, who is that? Well, that's you and me. That's every human being. That's everybody in America and Australia and England and Mexico, Canada, Germany, Spain, France, Africa, you name it. Everybody. Our roots can be traced back to Adam. So by Adam's sin, by one man's sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all people, all men. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. By that one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Everybody who was in him, everybody represented by him, everybody who was in that covenant of works of which he was the representative. So, see that word, so? Even so, by the same token, by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. In other words, Christ Jesus was a representative man. He came into this world as our federal head, as our representative. God sent him as a covenant head of a people. Now, I don't know how it can be made any plainer. I just do not know. The second Adam, that's what he's called. The first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The first man, Adam, in him we died. Second man, Christ, the Lord from heaven, in him we live. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 says this, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Now, God made the first man out of the dust of the earth. And he said, dust thou art, to dust shalt thou return. That first man was made of the dust of the earth. And everybody came from his loins. Even the woman was made from that first man. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and took a rib from his side and made a woman. She was under his headship, represented by him. And in that first man, Adam, that's where we came from. But the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. He was made of a woman. The Holy Spirit came upon that virgin and conceived in her the Son of God. God prepared a body for him. Now, if you look at what happened in the garden, I'm going to get real personal here now. You listen to me carefully. If you look at what happened in the garden, when that first man who represented all of us sinned, you'll see that this state of guilt and condemnation and death was universal. Universal. I had a fellow come to our church one time years ago, and he went away and said this. He said, that's the first preacher I ever heard say publicly from the pulpit that he's a sinner. Well, my friend, that ought not to be, because the Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture says that death passed upon all men. The Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Scripture says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. All have sinned. This fall of Adam was universal. All who are in him and all who are by him and all who are from him and all who are of him are sinners, universally so. Actually, God says from the sole of our feet to the top of our heads we're sinners. Nothing good in us. None good. No, not one. None that understandeth. They all do fade as the leaf. Even our righteousnesses in God's sight are filthy rags. That's true. And let me shock you. This state of death, darkness, and sin is not only universal. Not only universal, but it's unchangeable. Unchangeable. By any human means or any human effort or any deeds or any works or any religion or any profession. That old heart of yours, you can't change it. Now, God can, but you can't. Your record, you can't do anything about it. Now, God can, but you can't. Your state of darkness and death and wickedness and condemnation, you can't change. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That's what God says. Not by works of righteousness which we've done. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh no man can please God. I say that what happened in the garden, as a result of Adam's sin and rebellion, that condemnation and guilt and sin and death passed upon all men universally. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. There's none without sin. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. And if you say you have not sin, you make God a liar. You're deceived, my friend. You're a sinner. And the disciples asked the Lord this question. Well, who can be saved? Who then can be saved? You know what the Lord answered? With men, it's impossible. With men, it's impossible. Sinner, save thyself is an impossibility. Spiritual death, listen to me, is universal. Spiritual death is unchangeable as far as human effort and works are concerned. You know how Paul described us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12? He said, at that time, you were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in this world. Now let's go back to that question that the disciples asked the Master. Then who can be saved? And our Lord said, with men, it's impossible. Impossible. But, and I thank God that He added this next statement, but, with God, all things are possible. What I can't do, God can do. That's what I'm saying. You can't change that heart of yours, but God can give you a new heart. You can't change your record, but God can send His Son down here and wipe it out and cover it, blot it out, and give you a new record, a new name. You can't change yourself, but God can change you. You see, that's what I'm saying. Listen to Ephesians 2. But Ephesians 2 describes what we were. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, in the lust of our minds, in the pride of life. And we were children of wrath, even as others, all men, but God. But God, oh, the impossibility of restoration, the impossibility of change, the impossibility of deliverance. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. Are you saved? And hath raised us up together, and He hath made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, with men it's impossible, but not impossible with God. For with God all things are possible. But the key is here. The law's got to be honored. So God sent a man to do it. Justice has got to be satisfied. So God sent a man that could do it. You see what I'm saying? By one man, sin entered the world. Death by sin. So death passed upon all men. By one man's disobedience, we were all made sinners. By one man's sin, judgment and condemnation passed upon all men. God's holy law still stands. And God said it must be obeyed. By any man who's justified, by any man who's accepted, by any man whom God receives, that law has got to be honored. With men, it's impossible. But God sent the man Christ Jesus, the God-man came into this world. Not impossible with Him. He was made in the likeness of flesh, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He honored the law. He said, I always do those things that please my Father. Always. Which of you can charge me with sin? He said. Even Pilate said, I find no fault with Him. The Heavenly Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. That Adam, that second Adam, that Lord from heaven, read 1 Corinthians 15 for me. Read that sometime. That second man, the Lord from heaven, honored the law fully. By one man, Adam's disobedience, we were made sinners. By that other man's obedience, we were made righteous. He honored the law. Yeah, but what about justice? God's unbending, uncompromising, unyielding justice. The soul that sinneth shall surely, surely die. You think God will take that back? He can't and be God. All right, with men it's impossible. We've sinned, we've dishonored God's law, we bucked His justice. We got to meet it head on. Wait a minute. Hold it. That man, Jesus Christ, came and He met that justice on the cross of Calvary. And He paid the debt in full. It's paid. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe, sin, leprosy, crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. There is a way out of the mess we're in. There is a way for God to be just and yet justify folks like you and me. There's a way for man to be clean that's born of a woman. Job asked how. There is a way to God. There's a way to righteousness. There's a way to righteousness for folks like you and me and fellowship with God. And that way is Jesus Christ. That way is by the righteousness of the Son of God, by the death of the Son of God, who said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. With men, impossible. But with God, Peter spoke in the book of Acts chapter 13. He said, be it known unto you men and brethren that through this man, by man came death, by man came life, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by this man, all who believe, can you believe? Has God given you faith to believe? All who believe are justified, freely forgiven, absolutely delivered from all things, all sin, all evil, all rebellion, all death, from which you could not be justified by works or by the law. Oh, I tell you, that's good news, and that's our gospel, justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, was counted to him for righteousness, and it'll be given to us if we can believe on him who justifieth the ungodly. You want this message on tape to study it? Right, I'll send it to you. Send us $2. That'll take care of the mailing cost. Justified by faith. And on the other side will be another message I'll bring next week. All right, until next Lord's Day, Henry Mahan bidding you goodbye and God bless you.